Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be joined here in a minute with our special guest every Wednesday, Wendy Wilson, and another topic you're going to have to listen to believe, okay? And of course, the next segment, we'll be joined by Melody for the rest of the broadcast. So we've got a lot to talk about, a lot going on. And it is hard to believe, folks, but it's March already. It's March 1st, 2023. Beautiful day here in the hills of West Virginia, up in around 70 degrees and gorgeous. I mean, I have no complaints, although they're going to have a downturn this weekend again in weather, but it's only March. But it is March. I mean, this year is going by at a very rapid pace. A month seems like nothing any longer. It truly does. And days are like, it seems like hours used to be. Nonetheless, welcome to today's broadcast. Let's get started with the metals and the markets. All three out of the four metals had an up day. Gold was up 12.34 to 18.3783. Silver's up 11 cents to $21 even. Platinum was up 13.60 to 9.5550. Palladium is the only one was down. It was down $7, 14.2090. So gold and silver had an up day. I do believe, folks, we'll see a bit more of a trend that as time goes along. I really believe that. I truly do. And in the way of the markets, the Dow was up 35 points to 32,691. S&P was up 14, or was down 14 points to 39,5592. The Nasdaq was down 66 points to 11,389.54. So, two out of three markets were slightly down. Not much change there, really. And the FTSE was up 0.49% to 79.14. DAX was up, or down 0.39% to 15,305. Hang Seng had a pretty good hit up 4.21% to 26.19. Nikkei was up 0.26% to 27.516. The oil is also up slightly, 0.75 cents to 77.80. USDX was down 0.41 to 104.46, which ties in with the metals going up. The dollar goes up, the metals come down, the dollar comes down, the metals go up. It's not because metals change value, folks. The dollar changes value around the metals. Understand that. And let's go to our guest, a very special guest. I always enjoy listening to Wendy share her stories and her information because she's right on top of things. Let's go to Wendy Wilson. Wendy, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Butch and all the listeners. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine. You're right ahead. You have fun.
We've been talking about science kind of like off the chain lately. They really don't have any ethical boundaries per se. They talk about ethics and policy, but they really don't exercise that. So today we're talking about artificial intelligence, and what the scientists are doing now is they're giving the artificial intelligence more of a human brain. We'll get into that, because some scientists are really concerned about the development and launch of the artificial intelligence to begin with, and concerns tend to range from job losses to socioeconomic inequality. However, this does not cover the risk artificial intelligence presents to humanity overall. So now scientists want to enhance the artificial intelligence with human intelligence. Now that enhances the risk factor, and I thought we'd take a look at it. So right now, lots of people don't like change, and they don't like change that is weird, unexpected, and unpredictable. So the area of science seems to be playing roulette with humanity's future. And besides the socioeconomic inequality and job loss, other factors of risk are privacy violations, algorithmic bias with bad data, market volatility, and weapons automation. So artificial intelligence is going to have a part to play in all of that. Now, Harvard Business published a report on the future of artificial intelligence, and more industries are embracing it for efficiency and cost savings. Here's a quote from their report. This was October 2020, Harvard Business. They said, with virtually no U.S. government oversight, private companies use artificial intelligence software to make determinations about health and medicine, employment, creditworthiness, and even criminal justice without having to answer for how they're ensuring the programs aren't hacked or encoded, or curiously, unsuspiciously have some structural bias built into it. They said worldwide businesses spending on artificial intelligence, an expected $50 billion in 2023 and $110 billion every year by 2024.
Wow.
So they predict your artificial intelligence will be very disruptive, changing entire industries in the next 10 years. And what about people in their jobs? Will the artificial intelligence replace them? Well, for now, artificial intelligence is kind of taking this the technical tasks from the employee, called hybrid job, and they tend to free up the employees to do other things. But eventually, artificial intelligence will become even more efficient than humans and less expensive to maintain. So there's not going to be overtime to pay, medical insurance, unemployment tax, sick days, vacation days, and even salaries. So your artificial intelligence, what do you think is going to happen there with jobs? I think we're going to be outsourced. We're all going to be outsourced. Now, Joseph Fulmer, he's a professor of management at Harvard Business School. He said, virtually every big company now has multiple artificial intelligence systems and counts the deployment of the artificial intelligence as an integral part to their strategy. The implementation of artificial intelligence includes machine learning, robotics, sensors, industrial automation in the business, and also in our working world. So there's no stopping this train, Pastor Butch.
No, there's not. No, there is not. It's way too late to stop it now.
Right. And Fulmer goes on to say, early on, it was probably assumed that the future of artificial intelligence would involve the automation of simple, repetitive tasks requiring low-level decision-making. But artificial intelligence has rapidly grown in sophistication, owing to more powerful computers and the completion of huge data sets. One branch, medicine and learning, notably for its ability to sort through and analyze massive amounts of data and to learn over time, has transformed countless fields, including your education. So here we're coming to this new research that's really kind of concerning. There's a new angle on your artificial intelligence, Pastor Butch. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Science is looking at this as an ultimate intelligence, and it's calling it organoid intelligence, or OI. So we've been hearing that artificial intelligence is acquiring and learning, but organoid intelligence is merging human brain cells with the technology. So this is a study, and what we're looking at is science creating what they call brain machine technology.
I want to share something with you very quickly. I have an article up in my closet here in the office. I could dig it out from 1970s. Said that the military planned to weld human brain cells with computer chips. This is 1970s. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry, 1980s. Go ahead.
Well, they've probably been working on it that long then. So research at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, is conducting research, and it did get published in the February 2023 Journal of Frontiers. And this new intelligence is the beginning of what is called biocomputing. So you've got organoid intelligence, you got brain machine technology, and then you got biocomputing. This is the new field. So how does an organoid intelligence work? Well, scientists are using 3D cultures of human brain cells, or they call them brain organoids, and they use it as a brain-machine interface. So the new brain cells resemble human brain structures and function to provide cognitive function to the artificial intelligence. So learning and memory would take on a more complex feature this way. And at first, the brain organoids would serve as a biological hardware and one day could evolve to offer more human-like characteristics such as empathy. Can you imagine your robot having empathy, Pastor Butch?
Well, that might be a pleasant addition, you know.
Right.
Go ahead.
So when I read reports like this, Pastor Butch, I think of Gene Wilder as Dr. Frederick Frankenstein saying, "It's alive." You know?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's just weird. So is it any wonder, though, that the fields of science, the bioengineering, the computer science is calling this technology advancement as live science? So they're bringing science alive. They're calling it live science. Now, the Silicon Valley motherboard chips have their limits. whereas the human brain is said to be able to store more than 2,500 petabytes. I'm not sure how big that is, but somebody out there may know that. Therefore, science is kind of drooling over the human brain and its 100 billion neurons and more than 1,000 connective points, offering a much more power compared to current technology. So the 3D cell structure science is creating will connect your artificial intelligence and expand its learning systems. So the plan for the organoid intelligence is pretty vast, Pastor Butch.
Yes,
so
it
think,
is.
Think medical doctors, engineers, pilots, astronauts. Think that. And where are the ethics, right? Well, there is talk about representing ethics, but, you know, that should be discussed and planned before you do the research, you know, before you even conduct anything. So it's kind of very hard to put that genie back into the bottle. And ethics has been kind of kicked to the curb, basically, to the side of the road to make way for so-called genius inventions like giving robots human brains.
That might destroy the robot. But anyway, go ahead. maybe we put Biden's brain and see what happened. But anyway, go ahead.
Oh, right. Well, Lena Shermova, she's research at Johns Hopkins. She says, we have functional brain organoids already. And since we have an electrophysiological active system, which is synchronous electrical activity and is responsive for chemical and electrical stimuli, the next step we are working on is to characterize and optimize the system further by demonstrating key molecule and cellular aspects of learning, in particular organoid intelligence, to develop a model for long-term learning. Oy, I mean...
Yeah, really.
A living, breathing robot, if you will. They're playing God is what they're doing. So you want to prepare for a bumpy ride as we get deeper into a world that knows no limits. And scientists, you know, everything is being done with what I call creative blindness. They're not looking at the big picture. So people now are asking, what have we done to ourselves? Well, things are more complex and hectic. And now imagine artificial intelligence functioning faster, more efficient, and with human intellect. What do you suppose that would bring? Will the creation become the master? Right?
From biblical perspective, I think you very well could.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if they're faster, if they're connected to the internet, they could predict. I mean, they'd probably be connected to quantum computers. And quantum computers are very fast. They can break binary code in a matter of seconds. And if you know anything about banking uses binary code. So, so basically they're worried, you know, they'll be more intelligence, faster, more efficient. They'd be filling the jobs people today want to fill. See, so where does that leave humanity? Well, you'll be the slaves, is what you'll be. That's what you'll be.
Isn't that what the beast system does to people? Makes them a slave or die one or the other?
Yeah. So, you know, we got a world that's transforming, and we need to be prepared as much as we can for it. And there's really no time like the present, really, to become as knowledgeable as you can about things that you may need, like your medicinal plants, to help body and mind stay healthy and well. So we do offer a free catalog at Apothecary Herbs if people want to sign up for that. It's free. They can go online at thepowerherbs.com and check it out under catalog, or they could just give us a call toll-free, 866-229-3663. We have a new catalog rolling out this month. Hopefully, probably close to the third, fourth week of March. I can't believe it's March. It's spring. I don't know about your area, but we have everything blooming 3 weeks too early here.
We have crocuses blooming, which it shouldn't be quite yet. We have some of the bar tips in the trees are starting to get a little green on the ends. That's way too early for that.
Well, we have a lot of trees, like the Bradford pears are the first to bloom, and
yes,
they already have their blooms up. They're also the last to lose their leaves in the fall, but they're already blooming. Yeah, we had all the bulbs come up already. A lot of these trees, you know, are going to be shedding leaves, showing leaves in a couple of weeks. So way early. We didn't get any snow this year, Pastor Butch. Well, of course, you know, you could get snow in March, I guess, technically. But we didn't get any. Did you get any?
We got very little. Our biggest snow was about 5 inches, and that's unusual for the hills of West Virginia, believe me.
I know. I got a customer in Pennsylvania, and they usually get beautiful snow, like, you know, picture, postcard kind of beautiful snow. They didn't get, but they got a dusting. That's all they got this year.
It's amazing. Like, I mean, we've been hitting record highs here.
Yeah, I know. It's been 70 degrees the last couple of days where we're out here in sunny Carolina. That's usually we're in the 50s to 60s. We're not quite there, but the weatherman, you know, the poor weather report, it's kind of comical to watch them. They just can't explain anything, really. But, you know, give us a call at Apothecary Herbs. We do offer the immune support, metabolic support, organ cleansing, toxin removal, pandemic kits, heart attack packs, and all those things. 5-year shelf life on powdered herbal powders and 10-year on their liquids. So those are really good shelf lives if you're stocking up on stuff. And I would say sign up for the newsletters. We kind of join in with Melody here in the American Survival Newsletter, so you'll get information from Melody and from us if you sign up, and they're free. So I would sign up for those newsletters.
Free's a good price. Free plus tax. That's a good price. And folks, I mean, what she just told you lines up with the scripture so completely. The beast system will control everything you do and think and say. Now, it will for those that follow the beast. It will. So get ready for that. It's coming. Prepare yourself as best you can, spiritually, mentally, and physically. Get yourself in order. We're down about the last minute. You got a minute to go. Go ahead.
Well, I do have one thing to an observation. Remember the original Star Trek TV series? And they had that flip communicator, Captain Kirk. We got flip. Then we got flip phones. But they also had on that TV show aliens called the Collective, and they were merged humans with the computer database system, and they would go around trying to assimilate more humans into their plan. And they said, simulation, you know, is going to happen. So it's, you know, just don't resist us, kind of thing. And then they had the transporter. We got scientists that are transporting paper clips and small items from one side of the room to the other with frequency vibrations. So they're reassembling molecules just like they did on Star Trek. So what else are we going to see? Really?
Wow. Only God knows for sure. There's no way our minds can wrap around this. You know, this is so far above my little pea-picking hillbilly brain, I can't even start to conceive it.
I know.
But anyway,
hard to understand it.
Your information was right on again. The phone number again for everybody?
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Great to be with you.
Wendy, talk to you soon, hon. Have a great week. Folks, back at the break. A lot to talk about, and we'll be joined by the boss of the program. We'll be joined by Melody Susan. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
All righty, folks, we are back, and that's a good bumper song. Get you back in your seat and thinking about it a little bit, moving a little bit. But anyway, we're joined now by Melody Cederstrom, who is the owner and proprietor of Discount Gold and Silver, folks, the one that you need to call, and I mean call for any precious metals at all. And I'm going to ask you a question in a minute about metals, and then we're going to go to a lot of news. Melody, are you there?
I am here.
It's good to have you.
It's good to be here. And
yeah,
I do
really
appreciate, I know Wendy does a terrific job,
and
I know you do a terrific job, and it does allow me to, you know, just finish up some things before the program starts, so I do appreciate everyone doing that, so thank you.
You're more than welcome. It's a team effort. We all work together in different ways. You helped me with the airtime on our broadcast, and that really blesses me, so we work together as a team. I mean, we're doing our best to get the truth out to the people. And make a difference in somebody's lives for the glory of God. And that's what we're here for, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, anything other than that, we're missing the boat. So, anything
you
want to say before?
You don't want to miss the boat.
No, we don't. No, we don't.
And you don't want to miss that.
So, if you do you have anything you want to do you want to say before I ask you a question?
Oh, no. You're going to ask me a question?
I am. I'm going to ask you to tell the truth. I'm going to ask you to tell us the truth. How old are you? I want to know the absolute truth. No, just kidding, of course. But anyway.
And I would just be kidding also, of course.
You go ahead. What do you want to say?
Nothing.
No, nothing, really. What I want to ask you, the Morgans, the silver dollars, you know, when they started in 1860s, like that, run up through the 1920s or 30s, are those still good investment today?
I think it depends. I think it depends on a person's objective when he's purchasing gold and silver, and it also includes his budget. So is it the best buy for some? No. Is it a good buy for others? Yes. I don't think it's, and I think that's how people should purchase things, you know, because sometimes you still want to focus on, you want to get as much silver for your money. So if you have a smaller budget, that might not be the best way for you to go because you're not getting as much silver in the old silver dollars. But yet if someone has a larger budget, to he can, you know, diversify a little bit more. So yes, it's they're great. They're very stable in price, and they do very well in these panic-driven markets. But is it for everyone? No, it just have to wait and see. And that's the problem with everyone out there and a lot of these other dealers and so forth. They sell everything to the same people, whether it fits their needs or not. And, you know, it's like selling a shoe size 9 to everybody. And you might not wear a size 9. So it's kind of the same thing.
Okay, so yeah, they're in it for the profit only. They're not really in it to make somebody the best investment. I understand that. I do. That's,
exactly.
That's common.
So,
it's sad.
So did I answer your question?
You did. Now, staying with silver, are the silver dollars original or the silver eagles a best buy?
And my answer is the same.
Okay. So it depends on what the needs are and what they can afford.
Exactly. They okay. perform differently. They're purchased for different reasons, you know, and that no one ever gets an education. So, again, you know, the Silver Eagles, when the premiums were so high, there was other things to purchase. You could buy foreign silver. You could buy, you know, silver rounds. So there was other options to you for you. Premiums are coming down on the Silver Eagles, so it's a little, they're a little more affordable. So if you don't have any Silver Eagles and you purchased all silver rounds before because of the price difference, then pick up some Silver Eagles. If all you have is Silver Eagles and you want to continue that, that's great. So again, it's what you already own, what your objectives are, your budget, everything falls into play.
Now, folks, that's about the most honest answer you can find from anybody. It's what you can afford, what you need, and she'll guide you through that. That's what makes Melody different than most businesses. She's not out just to make a quick profit. She'll tell you the truth. And I know for a fact some people don't like the truth coming from anybody. So, but she's just telling you the truth because she cares. She's always been with me ever since I've dealt with her. She truly has been, and that's why I'm on the radio with her, because Melody Seastrom is one woman that I know I can trust completely in every area, especially when it comes to finances. So anything you want to add, Melody, before we get started in news?
1-800-375-4188.
That's a good add-on. Folks, mm-hmm. do give her a call. Ask them questions. Seriously, I don't care if you got $100 or $10,000 or whatever you have. Call and ask questions and see what she offers. It doesn't hurt. And one thing about it, once you get this in your hands, you're going to be glad you have it, and you won't miss the paper at all. You can always send it back if you want to for money, a real paper for paper. But you have that in your hand to use whenever it's needed. That, to me, is a little bit of security in a bank. And in a real bank, it's in your hands. It's not in somebody else's possession where they can do what they want to with it. So that's my advice for the day. But I don't know if this is – well, we'll see. Donald Trump, with majority support, takes 30-point lead over a crowded 2024 GOP primary field. Will we go through this again, folks? I don't know. Will it make a difference? Probably not. Didn't last time. Former President Donald Trump has taken a 30-point lead over his next closest possible 2024 GOP presidential primary competitor and now has majority support in a crowded field, a new poll from Emerson College released on Tuesday shows. The survey taken entirely after Trump's highly publicized visit last week to East Palestine, Ohio, shows Trump a 55% 30 points higher than Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who is down to 25%, meaning Trump has now crossed the majority threshold in national GOP primary polling. The poll of a 10-way race shows Trump and DeSantis as the only two possibilities breaking into the double digits. Trump announced his 2024 campaign in November last year, right after the 2022 midterm elections, and DeSantis has been considering a run and trying to build his national profile in recent weeks, including with the rollout this week of a book and events over the last couple of weeks in places like New York and Illinois. DeSantis has said he will not make a decision on whether he will run until after Florida's spring legislative session, which would put a timetable for such an announcement for sometime in late May or even June. I don't know, Melody. I'll be quite honest with you. I mean, I'm going to assume this poll's telling the truth. I didn't think Trump would rise that fast in the polls again. I really didn't. I thought some people were kind of fed up with him and dropped that side. I don't know.
Well, the thing of it is what are your choices right now? So it's kind of based on who's running now, because you still don't know whether DeSantis is or not. So you got Nikki Haley and you got that other guy. So nobody knows who the other guy is, and I'm not sure everybody was fond of Nikki Haley. So with those three choices, yeah, he would still probably come out on top. And I think that's only because there's no other campaigners right now. So I think it'll change if DeSantis gets in there. And there's a couple of other ones in there that could probably pull a lot of votes away from. I'll tell you what, Youngkin out of Virginia, he would get a lot of liberal votes. For those people who voted for Biden, even though they voted for Trump the first time, those people would vote for Youngkin. Absolutely.
Well, no, the poll they're taking, he's 30 points ahead of DeSantis right now. I don't know what happened with DeSantis.
DeSantis isn't running.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we will see. Yeah. We'll see. Next year, I guarantee, will be a political year you'll be tired of hearing about before the election comes. I promise you that. But anyway, here we go. And this is something that's, I'm glad the Supreme Court's taking this up, but I can't believe it's even up for question. U.S. Supreme Court doubt over student debt relief looms over Biden agenda. The skepticism expressed by conservative U.S. Supreme Court justice towards President Joe Biden's move to forgive $430 billion, which is almost, folks, almost half a, I mean, $430 billion, almost $500 billion, half a trillion in student debt, not only cast doubt on the plan's fate, but also signaled a trouble ahead of it for the use of executive power to get things done in his remaining time in office. Questions posed by conservative justices during arguments on Tuesday over Biden's debt relief indicate that the conservative majority court could strike down his plan. The plan is an unlawful overreach of executive power, and it certainly is. That's not, a matter of fact, folks, I'm not a scholar in the Constitution, but I have read it. The executive branch has no authority in finances whatsoever. That's up to Congress, period. And Congress has no authority to forgive debts on somebody that signed up to pay for it themselves and tax it to you and I. They don't have authority. That don't mean they won't do it. They just don't have authority. Go ahead.
Well, you know what? They didn't have any authority to do Obamacare.
No, they didn't.
They didn't have any authority to do the, what is it, for the illegal aliens, the...
Yeah, the amnesty you're talking about?
For the young ones?
The Dreamer, Dream Act. Dream Act.
Yeah, so they didn't have the authority to... So, you know, they just go ahead and do it anyway.
That's very true.
And everybody... And the funny thing about it is... They say, well, this isn't constitutionally correct. We can't do it, but we're going to do it anyway. Even Pelosi said about the student loans forgiveness. Well, you know, that really isn't under the Constitution, but we're going to do it anyway.
What's the Constitution? And where are the Republicans kicking back and really raising Cain over this?
Nowhere to be heard.
No.
Nowhere to be heard.
I haven't heard Trump chime in on that or Nikki, the rest of them. None of them chimed in and say this is wrong. None of them have.
I haven't heard them. At least they haven't done it. Well, you know, the media isn't carrying it, though, either. So even if they did, you're not going to hear it. And you know what? Here's something else. I mean, it's just like, what is wrong with these people? New York City plan. New York, look at this. New York City plans to dole out $21,500 each to 2020 Black Lives Matter protesters. New York City is planning to comp. This is from the Washington Examiner. New York City is planning to compensate protesters from a 2020 demonstration following George Floyd's death with $21,500 each in a new settlement. In the proposed settlement, the city has agreed to pay $21,500 to each member of the class action suit, plus an additional $2,500 to those who were issued desk appearance tickets. If it is approved by a judge, the settlement would amount to an estimated $4 million to $6 million. There were reportedly around 300 people in attendance at the protest, and roughly 90 have already settled with the city regarding alternative complaints. The class action suit participants allege violations of their rights under the 1st, 4th, and 14th Amendments stemming from a June 4th, 2020 protest when police allegedly boxed demonstrators in. The settlement could end up being one of the largest of its kind if approved. In 2010, a judge approved a settlement wherein Washington, D.C. agreed to pay $18,000 each to demonstrators who were arrested en masse in 2000. The protesters have been arrested while demonstrating near the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund buildings. The settlement was ultimately $13.7 million. So, hey, the next time there's a demonstration, I'm going to go, man. I might get some money.
Basically, if they burn down houses and businesses, yeah, then we'll go for
sure. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
This was because the police allegedly boxed demonstrators in. Well, what the heck are you supposed to do?
This is America today. It truly is. But for folks, and I have two of my sons went to college, and they paid money out to go to college. They just paid their loans off. One of them just paid off a couple of years ago. And they kept their word. They signed the paper and paid it off. And I paid what I could on some of them, too. So I have, it'd be wonderful if the world could run that way, where we just forgive everybody their debt and not worry about it. But somebody's got to pay it. I don't want to pay their debt. I didn't sign the paper. I didn't benefit from the college. If they didn't benefit from it, that's not my problem. That's their problem. So if they didn't learn enough or be educated enough to make the money to pay it back, I can't help that. This is the same thing as me signing for a new home and somebody paying off the home because I can't afford it any longer. Make it easier on me or a new car or anything else.
Well,
it's the same idea. I'm sure it's coming. We'll get that in a little bit. That is coming. You're right. That is coming. Yep. Get that in a little bit. Now, there's some war news.
You know what, Butch? They wouldn't even be considering this if this country wasn't in such dire straits financially.
I agree.
Because I also just had an article. Biden said he's going to raise taxes in March budget proposal. So he said yesterday that his March 9th budget proposal to the U.S. Congress will include some higher taxes, including on billionaires, but will not violate his pledge not to raise rates on Americans making less than $400,000 a year. We've heard that tune before, haven't we?
And he did raise them last time. He did last year.
And the thing that is to the billionaires, guess what? Well, you don't think they can't avoid any rate increases that Biden can approve? Are you kidding me? Let's place them on the billionaires because they don't have to pay it anyway. How stupid. It's a campaign thing. And the thing of it is, it'll all funnel down to the people who can't afford tax increases anyway. So ridiculous.
I got it on a roll. Go ahead. You're doing a good job.
I mean, it's like, and he says, I want to make it clear. I'm going to raise taxes. Some. And these Republicans. Okay, they're threatening not to raise the U.S. debt limit unless he agrees to sharp spending cuts. Well, raising taxes isn't spending cuts, is it?
Not all right.
Biden has promised to cut the deficit by $2 trillion over 10 years in the upcoming budget. Okay, we're going to cut the deficit by $2 trillion over 10 years, but that only means we're going to increase the budget or the deficit by $10 trillion in the next 3 years. But we'll cut it in 10. I mean, it's so stupid.
Well, you know, Wendy was saying during the last segment that her property tax went up 40-some percent this year. Went up 40-some, went up $1,200 a year.
Yeah.
This is what we're seeing, folks. This ain't going away, and I don't want to be discouraging everybody, but, folks, this is not going to go away. They're going to eat us alive if they can, and basically they really are. Already are with inflation, and they're lying to us about a lot of things. Inflation is one of them. We have not seen a break in inflation. Again, I say this over and over, because the two main factors that we all spend money on, food and energy, has not been counted. So therefore, the numbers are at best fallible, they're false. Not easy. Go ahead, Melody.
We're heading into the break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. It's such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, and we're just talking about lots of things and getting our little things into
a tizzy.
Something here. Tizzy here.
Tizzy. And,
into a tizzy. So, yep, anytime you talk about taxes, whether they're going up or whether they're going down, you know, they never give you the true details. And they never truly work, so, except we pay more and more and more and more, Butch.
That's how it always goes and always will be that way because people just don't understand. They're ripping us off. And I know it's we don't like to accept those things. We like to think that they're somewhat honest, but we're kidding ourselves. We're kidding ourselves. Now, we'll move on now to some more news because I think this, of course, is important. You know that Russia... Moscow itself got hit with drones, and that is not going to go over well, I'm sure, but mass drone attack strikes Russia in an intensifying campaign. Chaos erupted in Russia overnight as drones swarmed multiple regions, sparking an explosion at an oil depot and deployment of fighter jets near St. Petersburg, according to local reports. Attacks occurred in the Krasnodar, Bryansk, and Belgorod regions, as well as the Republic of Adyga and Moscow. In the Krasnodar region, a drone strike occurred at about around 2 a.m., landing less than 100 feet from a Russian defense ministry barracks. Two drones filled with explosives landed at a nearby Rosneft oil depot in Tosp, sparking a blaze that was quickly extinguished, according to the Russian outlet Baza. Fighter jets were deployed to take down an unidentified flying object near Pulkovo Airport in St. Petersburg, causing a temporary shutdown of the airport. According to local authorities, incoming and outgoing flights were temporarily halted, though no reason was given for the move. However, Russian Defense Ministry later claimed that the whole thing had simply been a training exercise, and the airspace was reopened. There were no reports of injuries in any of the attacks. The attacks are part of what local media described as a mass drone attack that appears to have intensified in the last 24 hours. While the authorities have not attributed the attacks to any particular group or individual, pro-war Russian military bloggers suggest that the drone attack could be preparation for a spring offensive by the armed forces of Ukraine, with the purpose of such strikes will be to destabilize a home front and spread panic among Russians. That could be a fair assumption. I know Russia is increasing their attacks. That could be a fair assumption. But when you start hitting the capital of the country, I think probably you're going to expect some retaliation. What do you think, Melody?
Well, you would think. but we really hadn't. That was like, you know, that happened when yesterday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there really hasn't been any comment. So is it you always have to ask, is it propaganda? Did they really do that?
There's no way. There's no way we can know for sure.
There's no way we can know for sure. But I didn't see any response. Now, maybe there is responses out there from Russia and so forth. But, you know, more than, you know. But have you seen anything?
No, I haven't. I'm waiting to see what happens this evening. You know, this has been a day or so to see what happens. It may have taken a little while to get the response together. But we'll see soon, I'm sure.
So that's... I mean, that's big, and you didn't hear anyone talk about it.
No. No.
On any of the news programs. And I reported it briefly yesterday because that's a big deal.
And so, as far as I know, Ukraine is not taking credit for that either, as far as I know. Maybe they did. I didn't hear it, but I didn't hear them. I didn't hear Zelensky come out and say, well, we can hit you at the heart of your country. I didn't hear him say that. Anybody else say it either. Did you?
It was probably the same people who hit the pipeline.
Yeah, that could be us then. Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, was that who hit the pipeline?
That seems to be the going talk right now anyway. But we know it was. We know it was. We you and I discussed it back when it happened. Who would gain from it? So, yeah, obviously, these are things that people need to pay attention to because this is actually heating the war up. And the next article I want to share with you is something I think that no one wants to admit losses in the war. I remember when I was, before I went to Vietnam, and while I was there, they quit counting casualties like they usually did. They would say, well, the U.S. had 10 losses and the VC had 150 losses. They count it like a score game. You remember that? You remember we done that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they count it like a score, like a baseball score or a basketball mm-hmm. score. So the U.S. scored 150, the VC scored 10. Like, you know, we're not talking about human lives here. We're talking about numbers. But nonetheless, this article said most Ukrainian soldiers on Bakhmut front line killed within 4 hours. A retired Marine fighting in Ukraine told ABC News, the front lines are a meat grinder where soldiers survive an average of 4 hours. Troy Offenbecker is fighting alongside Ukrainian forces in the Donbas region. Moscow and Kyiv have been battling around Bakhmut for several months as Russian forces have slowly made gains around the city. In January, Germany estimated Kyiv was losing a three-digit number of soldiers daily fighting in Bakhmut. At that time, the White House believed President Volodymyr Zelensky was committing too many lives and resources to defend the city. Offenbecker's commentary suggests that the situation may be getting worse for Ukrainian soldiers. It's been pretty bad on the ground. A lot of casualties. He assessed the life expectancy around 4 hours on the front line. He said the Russian attack on the city is not letting up and had turned into a meat grinder. The artillery is nonstop. Offenbecker explained the Russian forces are fighting around the clock. The Russians have maybe run into a shortage of shells lately, but the past couple of weeks it's been nonstop all day and night, he told ABC. Now, I have never been in a direct shelling back and forth situation, even when I was in Southeast Asia. But I have friends who were. And I don't care how you look at it, Melody, where you live in a grass hut like they did in Nam and Laos and places, whether they live in a thatched hut where they eked out living in the rice fields or whatever they did, when your home is destroyed, whether it's a mansion or a one-bedroom shack, that's your home. Everything you have, one thing you own, everything you hold dear, you keep in your home, including your family. So where do you go when your home is destroyed? And right now in Ukraine, and I'm sure some of us get hit around the borders of Russia too, is being really hammered. And the people who did not start the war, who did not want the war, are losing their homes. And that's the saddest part of it. Any comments on that?
No, it is very sad, and, you know, but what's the answers? You know, China came out with some sort of a, you know, perhaps talking points at least to, you know, maybe have a reprieve in the shelling and so forth, but, you know, do you see anybody going to, you know, Geneva or Switzerland or, you know, wherever to sit down and say, how can we make this stop?
No,
for
you don't.
Ukraine, it's an all or nothing. And to some degree, I get that. But I mean, Ukraine isn't like every other nation out there. So I don't know. It's really, really it tugs at people because they want to support it. But yet on the other hand, how many billions of dollars? This is not our war. You know, and I was reading an article the other day about Ukraine where, you know, he was thanking the United States for helping them with their budget. So all our money is not going to weaponry and things like that to fight Russia. It's going into their government. It's going in to pay their bills.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, no, we shouldn't be doing that. So how much money? So the next they've allotted another $10 million to be paid through September. So, you know, we only get to hear, you know, a billion here and a billion there. But no, it's $10 billion has been promised to be paid by September, so much each month or something like that. And that goes to their budget. Doesn't have anything to do with weaponry. It doesn't have anything to do with fighting the Russians.
Well, if China would step in and aid Russia now, and again, I say this, it's no different than us stepping in and helping Ukraine. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Different parties, same thing. But China has a lot to lose with trade partners all over the West, not just in the U.S., but all over the West, and all the nations that are aligned with the West.
True.
And so they have a lot to lose. So what would they do? Yeah. I don't know. But in reality, it's no different than us supporting Ukraine. It's not our war. And it's really not China's war. But if they get involved, this is going to increase so many things. It's unbelievable. And China,
you're right.
China starts hurting financially. They're not
and
going
China
to step back.
China stayed out of it. But look look how we garnered all the European nations to fight, you know, to do all the sanctions and to do this and to do that. So we basically started that first. And you know what? Maybe this war would have been over if everybody had stayed out of it.
Oh, it would have been.
And we don't even know who would have won.
No, it would have been over. No doubt. But that's not going to happen that way. The U.S. has been nosing up people's business for many, many years, longer than I've been alive. So anyway, you want to move on now to something else? Well, I mean, you talk about that for a long time. We make a lot of points on that for sure. But it is what it is. It's happening as we speak. It's not good news, but it's happening. And we have to face up to reality, folks. This is going on, whether you like it or not, this is happening in the world today. And this is where I live and my family lives. That's just all I got to say about that. Anything you want to add, Melody?
Nope.
We'll go ahead and look at something else here I think is interesting. Chicago, this is going to be a blessing in Chicago, I do believe. And they'd be really hard-pressed to find somebody worse than Lori Lightfoot. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot ousted fourth frontrunners face off in April. She's the first mayor to lose an election in Chicago since 1983 that was an incumbent. First one, and then was Jane Bryan, who lost back then. But this woman has been a disaster for Chicago. I mean, a total disaster for Chicago. But now they're going to have a runoff between Paul Vallas and Brandon Johnson. Next month, I think it's April 4th, have a runoff to see who's going to be, running in the primary and to run for the election for the mayor of Chicago. But I would say that most Chicagoans are not going to miss Mayor Lori Lightfoot at all. You have any comments on that?
Hallelujah, she's gone, but we don't know what's replacing her.
No, we don't. It might be even worse. It very well could be. I mean, I don't know, but she certainly was a disaster. So we'll see what happens with the next one line, I guess. That's all we can do. Just wait and see now. I want to try to get this last article in before you quit. Oregon bill would pay homeless people $1,000 a month, Melody. You mentioned the first part of the program. The state of Oregon is weighing a bill to give homeless and low-income people $1,000 a month in universal basic income. Boy, we talked about that years ago. Here it is. The Oregon legislature is considering a bill to establish a People's Housing Assistance Fund demonstration program through the state's Department of Human Services. Oregon's bill is the latest in blue states looking to give hundreds of people in universal basic income. According to Bill Track 50, legislation would provide 12 monthly payments of $1,000 to individuals who are experiencing homelessness or at risk of homelessness or severely rent burdened or below 60% of the area median income. The bill would require a study on who is receiving the money, broken down among a few demographics, including race, veteran, out there, say they go, including race, of course, veteran status and risk of domestic violence. Additionally, the bill ascends sets in January 2026. $1,000 payments can be used as the recipient's discretion, but supporters say it will be used for rent and other living expenses. Of course it will. They never use it for drugs or anything, never. However, that discretion could backfire. Some recipients could use the money for other costs like alcohol and drugs. Oregon is not the first place to consider universal basic income payments. A California state is planning to give universal basic income to transgender and non-binary residents. So what a wonderful place to live. Transgender residents in Palm Springs, California, are eligible to receive UBI of up to $900 per month solely for identifying as transgender and non-binary, no strings attached. The new pilot program will have $200,000 set aside for allocation after unanimous vote by Palm Springs City Council last week. Isn't that wonderful, Melody?
Mm.
Man, talk about something special. All you have to do to get your money is say I'm a pervert.
Now we need to move and demonstrate.
There you go. I agree. And then we can win a lawsuit.
That's about $3,500 a month. Okay.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And I'll read this headline about to quit. Americans charge $66 million to help illegal aliens fight deportation. Cities, some cities in the country are taking taxpayer money to fight for illegals who were told to leave. They're taking taxpayer money to harm lawyers to fight these cases. How's that for another kick in the pants?
Only in America.
Yes. And I think about our time, so you may want to take us out.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. And, yeah, there's so much going on. We could be here another 3 hours to bring information. But Gold had a nice day, 1010, 1837, 1838. And silver is back up over $21. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet.